The defending champions and the record champions got the competition back up and running on Tuesday night. Manchester City the victors at Copenhagen. Brahim Diaz wonder goal and 14-time winners Real Madrid an aggregate lead at Leipzig. A review of those games plus a Wednesday preview to come as the knockout stages of the UEFA Champions League get underway. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and it is good to be back. The wait between the group stage and the round of 16 felt like forever, but it was well worth it. And Chris Parry, European football expert, it felt like a night where you were just reminded of the standards, of the quality that this competition possesses at this stage.
Yeah, and two champion clubs, as you've mentioned, having taken that step over that kind of invisible line to win it for the first time. Manchester City were so dominant really against Copenhagen and ran out comfortable winners. They'll be very confident of sealing another place in the quarterfinals. And Real Madrid, without a whole host of big key players through injury, did what they have done so often really since Carlo Ancelotti returned to the Bernabeu. They found a way to win a game through a very special moment, and both these teams, two of the favourites to go all the way, with two away wins on opening night in the round of 16, they and their supporters couldn't have asked for anything more.
Well, it finished on Tuesday, Leipzig 0, Real Madrid 1, Copenhagen 1, Manchester City 3, and we'll start at the Parken, where the defending European champions are in action at Copenhagen in the round of 16 for only the second time. Chris was watching alongside commentator John Pradley.
Beautiful take by Foden, little ball inside to De Bruyne, shoots and scores. We reach the 10-minute mark of the game. Complete dominance so far from Manchester City, and Kevin De Bruyne marks his return to the UEFA Champions League with an incisive finish. That's not a good clearance by Edison to the edge of the penalty area. The shot comes out and it's 1-1. What a strike that is. Magnus Madsen on his debut for FC Copenhagen has bent one in from 20 metres. It is a glorious finish. What a way to announce yourself at the new club. What a goal. The Parken Stadium is alive. It's Copenhagen 1, Manchester City 1. Ball goes right-hand side to De Bruyne. There's three, now four inside the penalty area. One of whom is Bernardo Silva, who flashes the ball home and scores. Just as we reach stoppage time at the end of the first half, there's a little ricochet inside the box as De Bruyne tries to stab it forward. And Bernardo Silva was onto it in a flash. And with the outside of his left foot, the man who got so many crucial goals last season on the run into winning the UEFA Champions League, is at it again. FC Copenhagen 1, Manchester City 2. Grabara, outside is Foden. Here's De Bruyne now. And across the face of goal, Foden to score, and does. It's scintillating football from Manchester City. And Foden, who teed up De Bruyne for the first. Well, the roles are reversed for the goal at the end of the game. Manchester City with clear daylight in the tie. FC Copenhagen 1, Manchester City 3.
Yeah, a comprehensive victory in the end for City. John joins us now. And John, that final goal as well just gives City that breathing room, doesn't it, for the second leg?
Yeah, I think so. I think they had a number of chances throughout the game, and Kamil Grabara made some fine stops almost significantly just before the third goal by Foden, when there was a brilliant double stop to deny Erling Haaland. But they will look back and think, well, we could have had the tie wrapped up by half time pretty much. They dominated from the first whistle, they controlled the possession, and a team that is flying and flowing with such confidence against a team that hasn't played a competitive game for 2 months, and it did show. But credit to the Danish champions, they grew into the game, they got themselves a goal, and they never stopped fighting. But you always felt that Manchester City had it.
within themselves, and you almost felt they were going to score. Whilst Copenhagen will be disappointed, the fans were disappointed that third goal went in. That you know, you feel. I mean, Manchester City will have to have an abomination in the second leg not to go through now. They'll be pretty happy with the night's work. I think it was noticeable as well that Pep Guardiola saw the huge importance of that third goal. There were mass celebrations on the sideline.
Yeah, he knows the importance. And Manchester City have two enormous English Premier League games either side of that second leg, and this just gives them more than a bit of breathing room, in truth. And listen, a lot of the talk before this was about, you know, Kevin De Bruyne's first Champions League appearance of the season after his injury. And after the game, he was central to absolutely everything that they did. For me, he was the best player on the pitch. Scored a brilliant finish from an angle which looked impossible, but he was everywhere. And he didn't look like a player who has missed 3 or 4 months of football this season. He looks like a guy already back in his absolute prime, which is great news for Manchester City, and it's ominous news for the rest of Europe.
They're all pretty full. They're fully fit, Manchester City. I don't think they've got, you know, any significant injuries at the moment. De Bruyne, you can see, revitalised by that time away from the game. I think it's probably helped him to have that injury to just replenish his stocks, really. And with the rest of them all knitting together seamlessly, it's 11 straight wins in all competitions for them now. And they're going to take some stopping in every competition they remain in.
I just hope that injury to Jack Grealish, who had to come off, isn't anything too serious. At the end, Erling Haaland, again, I think you see the team spirit every time you watch Manchester City. They have these incredible individual players, but they don't half fight for each other. And the first thing he did was walk straight over to Jack Grealish and say, "Are you okay?" And Grealish didn't look too downbeat, but we'll have to see. And of course, Bernardo Silva came off with a bang, but you know, they have such strength in depth.
They'd not immobilised the leg. There was no significant strapping or anything on Jack Grealish, so you'd expect it just to be a bang and precautionary. But they've got such numbers, they've got such talent at their disposal. They're a very, very good football team. We know that. And you have to give Copenhagen credit for staying with them for so long, because they were full of heart, they were full of fight, they were full of vigour. They were everything they were in the group stage, and of course in the qualifiers before that. They've come all the way through from July, and they'll fight for their lives in Manchester in a few weeks' time.
Well, Pep Guardiola said before the match, it will be a tight, tight game, 100%. I feel it, and normally my guts don't lie to me, and to an extent it was with the scoreline until Foden's third. But let's go back to three unbelievable first half finishes, John, if we could tell the story of the half that did see Grealish on his first start in six games get injured.
Yes, he went off, he was caught in a challenge with Diogo Gonçalves, and he tried to carry on, but he was quickly replaced by Jeremy Doku. We'd already seen Manchester City get out of the traps very, very quickly, and a ball by Phil Foden. Kevin De Bruyne didn't even let the ball run across him before he stroked it into the bottom corner, and then it was a wonderful goal.
A bit like his goal at Newcastle, where he took that shot from the edge of the box recently, really early. And I even think back to his goal against Arsenal, maybe in that big game last season, where he just shoots out of nowhere kind of thing.
He nearly did it a little later as well in the second half, when a ball came to the edge of the penalty area and he just struck it so early. And Kamil Grabara produced another
good
of his fine saves in this game. Magnus Madsen levelling things up on his debut tonight for FC Copenhagen, coming into the club. Edison with a poor clearance out. Elianusi tried to return it. It was blocked. It came to the man signed from Nijmegen in the Eredivisie, and he bent the ball from 25 metres, set it off outside the post with real pace, and Edison had no chance whatsoever. But by half time, usual service had been restored, Manchester City, and another really fine goal. It had a bit of luck about it. De Bruyne advancing to the edge of the penalty area, out came the challenge by Elias Jelle, who was stunning tonight, by the way, for FC Copenhagen, the 20-year-old fullback, played on both sides as well tonight, along with Kevin Dix. The ball bounced up, hit the knees of Kevin De Bruyne, ricocheted into the penalty area, and Bernardo Silva couldn't believe his luck. Still had a lot to do, and with the outside of his left foot, how typical of him, just clipped it past the onrushing goalkeeper. Second half, for all they tried, the home side couldn't really get back into it, and it was a case of trying to stay with Manchester City goalkeeper and defender Scott McKenna on debut, the Scotland international outstanding alongside Dennis Favreau, defensively very, very good. Struggled to break Manchester City down as everyone does, and then right at the end, the killer blow, the knockout blow. You could call it a 1-2 as Foden rolls the ball to the byline,
yeah,
and a reverse pass from Kevin De Bruyne, and from what, 7-8 metres, Foden clips it home, and the captain of Copenhagen, Rasmus Falk, the veteran, sinks to his knees, looks to the heavens as if to say, yeah, I know the significance of what's just happened there.
It was the most classic Manchester City goal, actually, that slide rule pass. They play it on both sides, and then as soon as you've played it, you make your way into the penalty area.
They reverse it so well as
oh,
well,
yeah,
don't
and,
they?
And everybody is completely in tune with the structure of that type of attack. They probably tried it 20, 30 times, actually, over the course of the 94 minutes. But they go right until the end. There's no, you know, 2-1 up away from home with 75% of the ball. For most teams in European football would be a brilliant result. But Manchester City were always on the front foot, thinking, no, we want more. And, you know, fortune favours the brave, is the old saying. And you have to give them huge credit for being, you know, as relentless as they were. And they have maybe even more than one foot, I would say, in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, certainly. Just the one attempt on goal for Copenhagen on the night. And that was Matson's memorable moment, even if it is part of an eliminated round of 16 tie. An incredible moment for the new signing. On Phil Foden and De Bruyne, worth looking at some of these numbers here. So De Bruyne in knockout football in the Champions League, 10 goals, 11 assists in his last 22 Champions League knockout ties. And Phil Foden coming to the fore this season, having not always been that prevalent last season, John. 15 goals and 10 assists now after his late strike.
I think it's a change in emphasis and a change in role and the way they play now. There's always a thing about Pep Guardiola, is he seems to reinvent the wheel when he doesn't need to every year, as if just to sort of like keep himself,
what, liven things
just
up,
to keep,
yeah,
himself on his toes. When, yeah, he did it when he moved Fernandinho to centre back. No, I'm just going to change it around and do this and start moving players around randomly around the field. Foden given license to
and more
roam
central
and rotate.
I'm more,
yeah,
more central.
He plays from the right, but obviously he drifts, and they all have it. It is that thing where Bernardo Silva will pop up on the right hand side, and everyone seems to know if one's going there, then the other will just go out there. There's a great bond, a great unity. They all know their jobs, they all know each other's jobs as well, and that's why they're as good as they are.
First team in Champions League history to score three or more goals in seven consecutive matches as well. So they are rewriting the record books. They were unstoppable in the group stage, and I think if you beat Manchester City this season in the Champions League, you're going to go very, very close
to
lifting
it,
the
you?
Trophy.
They have won 13 of 13, by the way, ties that they've won the first half as well. So.
With a quick one on the Copenhagen goal and Ederson playing out like that, I mean, do we just accept this? Look, these happen once or twice a season when you play this way.
I think so, and I think I know that Edison's opinion and Pep Guardiola's opinion will be, I just have to be better in that moment. You've seen so many teams almost copying the way Pep Guardiola's teams now play, and that is just part and parcel of modern day football, and Edison will, you know, he did at the time, will hold his hands up and say, I shouldn't have passed it there. I mean, we know that he can pick a pass from 10 yards or 50 yards, you know, he's that good. It's central to the way that they will play. It did. After that goal, there was a short period where Copenhagen had another couple of attacks. They had the ball inside the penalty area at 2-1 down, and they were waiting for that one moment.
And if you're the underdog, you have to take that chance, and they did, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Did. And for them moving forward, the Danish Superliga starts again this weekend. They've seen a new signing on debut score a stunning goal.
McKenna did well,
yeah,
as well on debut. They lost the last two as well in the Super League before the break, didn't they? So they've got to get back to winning. They went from first to third, so there's a lot of work to do for them.
And they were applauded off. Nobody left the park and early. And I think that tells the story, really. Their supporters know that they were up against the very best. And for, you know, 92 minutes or so, they were well in it at 2-1 down. But, you know, City were too good in the end.
Let's hear from Copenhagen's memorable goal scorer on the night, Magnus Matson.
It's a bit of feeling. I mean, they score just before the break and again in the extra time. So, of course, it's a shame that we couldn't get the 2-1 and now we stand with a 3-1 loss. So, of course, it's not a nice feeling at the moment.
Magnus Madsen there scoring on his Copenhagen debut 10 days after joining the club. But a notable victory for Manchester City, of course. And the rematch, the return game in Manchester, will be on Wednesday, the 6th of March. OK, plenty more still to come on the show, and a look at tonight's other game and a preview of tomorrow in the UEFA Champions League.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Next to Germany, where Real Madrid were taking on Leipzig at the RB Arena, Joe Shannon was watching.
Great run, Brahim Diaz! And a curling effort finds the corner! It's a sensational goal to give Real Madrid the lead on the night and in the tie. Brahim Diaz with a sparkling run and finish. And in the absence of Jude Bellingham, he's stepping up the mark for Real Madrid. It's Leipzig 0, Real Madrid 1, and delight for Carlo Ancelotti. Dani Olmo, 25 metres out, no shot, pushed away by Lunin. Another reminder of the RB Leipzig threat. Now round crosses, headed away by Carvajal. And Real Madrid clear, and they're on the break here. Brahim Diaz over the halfway line, two in support. Vinicius Junior to the left. Here he is, into the area. Vinicius Junior goes one way, pokes it off the post. Brahim Diaz on the rebound, can't get the shot in. He did everything right, Vinicius Junior, and the little trot towards goal rolled along the goal line and off the woodwork. Haidara, he's played it through the middle. Šeško, he's in the area! And Lunin makes a diving stop. That was the biggest chance of them all, possibly. That is the full-time whistle. Leipzig 0, Real Madrid 1. Brahim Diaz with a wonderful winner early in the second half. He mimicked Jude Bellingham's celebration in tribute to the injured Englishman. Leipzig forced Andrew Lunin into several good saves. They may see this as a missed opportunity, but it's Carlo Ancelotti's team who take a first-leg lead back to Spain. Leipzig 0, Real Madrid 1.
Brahim Diaz was player of the match, by the way, and no surprise, Joe Shannon, when you score a goal as good as that.
A wonderful goal, and I think the defining moment of quality in the game, Rob. It was a very entertaining first leg, I have to say, and I think both teams played very well amidst a tremendous atmosphere at the RB Arena. But I think the one, as I say, clear moment of quality in the game, Brahim Diaz with the first of all, the silky footwork and the sparkling skill, make no mistake about it, but the awareness to break into the area as he did. And the finish is absolutely exquisite. It's a left-footed curling effort from the corner of the penalty area that just drifts into the far corner. And Galassi, we know, big goalkeeper, throws himself to his right-hand side and not able to keep it out. And that really was the defining moment in the game for Real Madrid, early in the second half as well, because I think Leipzig will feel that they played well from an attacking point of view. They certainly created numerous chances. Benjamin Šeško had a goal ruled out relatively early on, went on to be denied by the excellent Andrew Lunin on three separate occasions. The goalkeeper tipped away Amadou Haidara's long-range volley as well. So Leipzig worked hard, created opportunities. It wasn't necessarily a vintage Real Madrid celebration, but look, what matters is that they've got the result. They've got a first-leg lead to take back to Spain ahead of that second leg on the 6th of March. And a wonderful goal from a player stepping into the shoes of Jude Bellingham, who couldn't feature tonight.
Yeah, and Jude Bellingham quickly took to social media to praise and show his disbelief of just how good that goal was. Interesting player, isn't he, Brahim Diaz? 3 years away at AC Milan, getting Champions League experience. You wonder if he's going to make it at Real Madrid. Chris suddenly comes back and he's doing... I mean, he scored goals in the group stage, he scored tonight. He's doing things for Real Madrid and an important... They have these players, haven't they, in recent years when they win titles, these squad players who step up in big moments.
Felt like a very classic Real Madrid performance of recent years when the opponents have a number of chances and they they have to battle through it, and then they find a real individual moment of class. And the way that he rides, Joe, I don't know what you thought, the way that he was almost fouled two or three times in the move, actually, but he kept his footing, low centre of gravity. Many players, I think, would have gone down, but he had eyes on the bigger prize, which was to curl a beauty into the top corner.
Well, it was a goal, as you say, that had a little bit of everything. The physical ability to shrug aside his opponents, and then the vision and precision with the finish. But this is somebody who is often brought into the team when Jude Bellingham has been absent in the Real Madrid side, and that hasn't happened many times this season, although I'm sure Ancelotti will come out and make the point that, you know, that's five games without Bellingham, and that's five times that Real Madrid have been on the winning side. So, you know, it's not necessarily a player that they absolutely cannot do without. Of course, you'd rather have Jude Bellingham in the team than not, but I think it's encouraging for Ancelotti that he can bring in a player like Brahim Diaz with his creativity and his incisiveness in the final third, his hard work off the ball. He's got an ability to press and run hard. And he was the player that I think had looked like making things happen for Real Madrid, perhaps alongside Vinicius Junior, more than anybody up until the point that he scored. And it was a goal fit to win the tie. The only surprise was that we didn't see more goals over the course of the game, because it was a really interesting spectacle.
Yep, certainly right, Joe. Thank you. We'll come back to you. Aurelien Tchouameni playing at centre-back. No Courtois, no Alaba, no Militao, no Rudiger, no Bellingham. And they still get the win on the road at Leipzig. Bellingham's record against Leipzig isn't that good, actually. He's lost four of his six games, so maybe better he didn't play for them. Chris, let's have a quick look ahead to Wednesday then. Two more games on the way. Our featured commentary comes from the French capital as Paris Saint-Germain host Real Sociedad. Paris world clear at the top in France, destined for the title, and hoping to bring Kylian Mbappe back after he didn't feature in the weekend win over Lille.
Yeah, Luis Enrique, you know, you never know until you see the team sheet, but pretty much said, well, listen, he had a, had it been a final, let's say, he would have played at the weekend. So he will start. Remember Paris on match day six, 2 months ago, back in December, there was a period when they looked like they might be heading out and not reaching the round of 16. They were made to really work very, very hard in a tight section, whereas Real Sociedad were brilliant. They were one of these teams, actually, of the group stage. I think this is key, because Real Sociedad at home in San Sebastian are formidable force, really. I wouldn't take their league position seventh in Spain.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. No win in four either. Three nil-nils in that time.
They've been one of these teams this competition when that hasn't mattered. Champions League nights have come and they've managed to raise their game. But first leg at the Parc des Princes. Interesting as well to hear Enrique saying that we're going to face this period of matches with a great deal of calm. He will hope to kind of be able to imprint that, because we have seen at times over the years in the knockout stages that, you know, Paris, with all the pressure to finally get over the line and win the competition, sometimes you wonder whether that has actually played against him. But of course Luis Enrique hasn't got any of that so-called baggage himself, really, and he's won the competition.
Yep.
And this feels like a bit of a reset, right? You get to the round of 16, it's a couple of months since the group stage finished. Particularly if you're Paris, you see it almost as the restart of the Champions League when it really gets serious.
Kimpembe, Nuno Mendes and Skriniar, all defenders out at the moment for Paris Saint-Germain as they take on Sociedad. The other game, very interesting one, this Lazio versus Bayern. Lazio eighth at the moment. They got a big win at Cagliari away from home at the weekend. And Ciro Mobley has had his injury issues of late. Did get on the score sheet for Lazio. Bayern coming into this, Chris, second in the Bundesliga after their most notable defeat of the season in terms of that title race, losing away at their rivals Leverkusen. To what extent do you think Thomas Tuchel will be wanting that reaction?
I think he will have demanded it, and you heard from Thomas Müller after the match, pretty much said it himself. This is a club who don't lose games. Out in the quarterfinals in each of the last three seasons, Bayern as well, and they always go into every Champions League season expecting, I think, as a group of players, that they should be pretty close to the final, if not winning the competition. You mentioned Kane and Immobile, two of the best finishers, really, for, you know, the last five or so seasons. They've scored so many goals. Of course, Harry Kane this season for Bayern. Atmosphere is going to be brilliant, I think, at the Olympico. It's been a while since they've been in the Champions League last 16. Last time it was during COVID times when Bayern beat them, actually, at this stage. and football was a bit different, but roared on by that passionate home support, I think they will know that they need to get something from the home leg of that tie.
Last time they really competed regularly at this stage, the great Sven-Göran Eriksson was the manager. How fitting would it be if they could produce a performance in honour of
absolutely
what
right.
the great man is going through right now?
By the way, team news from a Bayern point of view. Serge Gnabry doing individual work, not quite fit. Comrade Lima, Alphonso Davies, Kingsley Coman out. And Thomas Tuchel was keen to point to the fact that De Ligt has back issues of late. Upamecano's not 100%, and he's just trying to find a formation. He wouldn't reveal three at the back. They went with that at the weekend. Four at the back, we'll see. Made signings. Eric Dier started at the weekend against Leverkusen. Sacha Boey, signed from Galatasaray, started at the weekend. They're all in the Champions League squad. We'll see exactly what they do away at Lazio. Let's have a quick recap on our final thoughts of tonight and just how important that win was for Manchester City, John, at Copenhagen.
Yeah, absolutely huge. I think obviously they've been playing catch-up because they had games to play because they were involved in the Club World Cup in December. So in England, they've been playing catch-up. They've got that momentum now of winning games in competitions in England, both in the Cup domestically and the league. So it set them perfectly up for this game. A difficult game in a difficult stadium on a difficult night, a historic night for Copenhagen. But as they have that belief and that power within themselves, that resilience, they made it look pretty comfortable in the end, didn't they? And yes, they needed late goals at the end of either half, but they're an absolute, I mean, they're a beast, aren't they?
They're coming over the hill, aren't they, yeah. Manchester City? Let's hear from Pep Guardiola giving his post-match assessment at the press conference.
I don't know how many chances we conceded, the amount we had, knowing that it's really, really difficult. As a team, they don't come to take the ball. They defend the space. They wait, you lose the ball, you make a mistake for after goal. Then you don't see a place they come to press. No, they defend the space, look at each other. That's why I have to be so patient and move to the right moments. It'd be a lot right, left, right, move them in the right moment. Attack them to don't concede the transitions and the five plays in behind. We're brilliant in that, and after the quality of the players that, you know, Kevin today was involved in the three goals, and Phil, and everyone was really, really good. I'm really pleased.
He sounds happy, and he did seem genuinely happy, didn't he, the way he greeted all his players at full time, beaming from ear to ear as his team get another big away Champions League win. Leipzig, Real Madrid, Joe, your final assessment on a big win for the record champions.
Good few days for Real, further yep. clear at the top of La Liga, and a big step towards the quarterfinals, it feels like.
Let's hear from the man who's playing at centre-back, Aurelien Tchouameni, who says Madrid will only get better from here.
I feel like we are starting the season because you know that in Real Madrid the season starts in February. That's what we are doing now. We just have to keep pushing, winning our games, and let's see what's going to happen at the end of this season.
He's a good centre-back, isn't he? He's a good midfielder as well, Aurelien Tchouameni. Chris, are these the two favourites, do you think, for the Champions League, Man City and Real Madrid?
Well, they're certainly in the conversation, yes.
I would hope so.
I would consider...
Who else is in that bracket, do you think, at the minute?
I would consider Bayern because of the quality that they have. Probably those three, but...
And then there's another group maybe of Paris and
yeah,
Arsenal.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I actually think Arsenal could be a serious contender. I also think we might just have a surprise package. You never know with the draw. Remember last year, the draw really opened up and Inter took full advantage of that. Almost took Manchester City to extra time in the final. But what I do think, it's been a super start to the round of 16, and the standard has been set by definitely two clubs who hope, maybe even expect to go all the way in Real Madrid and Manchester City. And it's over to the rest of the last 16 over the next week or so.
Great stuff, Chris. Thanks to John and Joe as well. That's just about all we have time for this evening. We'll be back with Match Day Live on Wednesday night from 8 p.m. CET for more action from the round of 16 with full match commentary of Paris Saint-Germain versus Real Sociedad, as well as live updates from Rome as Lazio take on Bayern. And this podcast will be available shortly after full time of every match night. So don't forget to subscribe and download via your favourite podcast provider. Wins for Manchester City and Real Madrid on the night. For now, from me and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.